I don't know. Due to the cloud outside, I think lateness can be excused.
Fair.
Yeah. Are we sure that Project Arrowhead is under control still?
What?
You ever see the mist?
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the mist out there.
It's pretty close to the mist out there.
The mist was better. I would have rather driven in the mist.
What?
There's fun animals.
They're fun animals, yeah.
I could see in front of the car that was pretty close in front of me.
Well, that's what the mist is.
Yeah, it was like 40 feet visibility.
Yeah.
It's, all right.
I'm just saying, obviously, if they just listened to that lady sooner in the film, everything would have been solved. Because the instant they did what she told them to do...
I think that's circumstantial.
I don't know. The lady said do a thing, they did the thing, and immediately everybody was rescued.
Was the thing we were out of budget?
The thing was...
No, that movie is actually... Yeah,
that movie's really good. And the black and white version on the DVD is super cool, too.
Yeah,
actually, that does sound like one of those things that a black and white version would be better.
Did you see The Mist?
No.
Do you care about spoilers?
Nope.
So there's... I'll wrap up the thing. Oh, spoilers...
No, we're just view scene right now.
Okay. Oh, we're view scene.
All right, let me know when we're live.
Oh, so we're going to start it off with the live?
I'll say spoilers.
Okay. All right. That doesn't...
I'm writing.
You don't want any new spoilers or anything like that, but hold on.
Yeah.
Like, what, James did that?
All right, so anyways, all right. Spoilers. So, the whole like middle sequence of the film is like a Lord of the Flies kind of society falling apart thing.
Sure.
And so they're in this grocery store and they fracture, and there's this crazy Christian lady who says, you know, that we're being punished by God and that's why this is happening. And so she decides that, you know, we need to execute these non-believers, and she wants to kill the main character's kid, like his 10-year-old son.
I think I've heard this rant before, actually.
Yeah. And so then the end of the film, the main character and his kid and three other people, they escape and they drive away and they like run out of gas in the middle of the mist, and so they decide to just suicide pact, but they've got a gun with four bullets, so the main character kills the other four people, including his son, and he's all sad because he just had to kill his son. And then 10 seconds later the military shows up with giant fans and blows the mist away and rescues everybody.
So
all evidence says that the lady was right. The moment they murdered that little kid, all their problems went away.
Yeah.
Who's, yeah. But I don't believe in coincidence, Andy. Always murder 10-year-old children in times of trouble.
Also during that time period, too, because previously you got to see like a giant monster walk over the top of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And spiders, that whole noise, as he was contemplating killing everybody, all you could hear was just noise in the background. You just turned out that those were just the tanks and the flamethrowers.
Yeah.
Coming their way.
Were monsters.
Yeah.
I mean... But they probably are the monsters.
There's a great edit of that last sequence, you know, because the whole thing is he pulls out the gun and it's got the four bullets, and somebody's like, but there's five of us. And then there's the gunshots, and then he's crying. And somebody edited it where he pulls out a Kit Kat bar with the four sections, and the guy's like, but there's five of us. And then he shoots the other four, and they edit the crying. He's like, ah, chomp, ah, chomp. And he's just eating the Kit Kat bar.
I mean, it's done well enough where even Stephen King has said that he likes that better than his original ending.
Yeah, no, it's a good ending. It's bleak.
Uh-huh. It's very bleak. And that's we went from the Arctic or Antarctic weather last week to now we have the mist where Project Arrowhead has gone astray.
We apparently live in Cloud City because there's about 40-foot visibility outside. It is insane.
The Half-Life world.
Yeah.
City 17.
Turok.
The dinosaur hunter?
Yeah, we
live in the N64 right now. Yeah. We can only see the
draw distances.
Draw distance.
Sure. We got to get the expansion pack.
Yeah, that explains the stop sign I did not see and almost went through a T intersection. Yeah. Four. Which, by the way, running a stop sign in a T intersection does not work nearly as well if you're coming in from the short leg.
Yeah. But
more importantly, Javier Bardem and Zendaya and... Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
I'm
welcome to the Dune podcast.
I'm very worried. Yeah.
So when is this coming out?
They're starting filming this summer. Okay. So the first film will probably come out next year, or maybe Christmas this year. But they'd have to film it real fast.
Yeah. They're not going to
film. So I think it's next summer.
It's going to be next summer.
Is the first film going to be Dune, or are they breaking up Dune into?
They're breaking up Dune into two movies. So the question will be, where do they? Okay. Yeah, I mean, Dune needs to be two movies.
Yeah.
So the question is, where do they stop it? Do they stop when he accepts being Muad'Dib? Do they stop when he meets with the Fremen for the first part? You know, it's going to be in a desert somewhere.
That's probably the better split point. Yeah. When he accepts that he actually is Muad'Dib, there's like 20 pages left.
Right.
The only thing
Elia's birth.
Yeah, I mean,
some big Fremen part of his voyage there, right?
Yeah, actually, after they leave Siege to Deboer.
Or the fight with Stilgar.
Yeah. You know, like, after they leave Siege to Deboer would be a good spot.
Yeah.
It's like, we fade the black going into the journey, and then, you know.
It'd be bombastic 80s synthesizer music and giant worms and them riding with the voice.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm okay with the soundtrack from the 84 Dune movie just being reused.
Yeah, that is the best part of the day. Yeah.
I'm worried about it because...
And Toto needs some more money, probably.
They're getting all these kickbacks off of Africa.
True.
There's a surge of Africa.
Yes.
But the thing is, though, those are all covers, and they don't actually get money off of covers.
They get a little, not much.
Yeah. They do?
Yeah, they get the songwriting credit for it.
Right.
So they get, like, 10 cents per dollar or something like that. Maybe not.
It's Aquaman.
Yeah.
Sure. I am worried about the film. I don't... The only Dune I really know of, honestly, is the 84... You know,
the amount
stylistic
of,
doom, but the amount the of good no. people and the fans salivating at this, I just have a bad feeling.
So it's either going to be the greatest damn thing or it's going to be the greatest damn thing, because either it's pure star power flopping terribly, correct. Which is amazing, or yeah. it's the first legitimately good Dune thing to ever be made.
Correct. I mean, yeah. I'd say we're either going to have the best, you know, blockbuster that also is an Oscar thing since Return of the King. Or it's going to be
Battlefield Earth.
We're either getting the Lord of the Rings movies or the Hobbit movies.
No, I would say either you're getting Lord of the Rings movies or you're getting Hobbit Battlefield 3. Earth.
So Hobbit 3.
Oh, God, fucking Hobbit.
Which movies. I think I would actually watch.
I mean, there's a big problem with Battlefield Earth, and that's the.
There's an initial core problem
in Battlefield Earth.
I think this Battlefield Earth has some issues.
That everything else stems from, and that's that the original book was trash.
It's beyond that. It's beyond that. The original book was trash, and the people filming the movie didn't realize it. Like, if the people filming the movie knew the book was trash, they could have fixed that. But yeah. the people filming the movie thought that this trash book was good.
Well, I mean, that's also, because Ebert's this was a John Travolta vanity project because he's a Scientologist.
Ebert's got the great line where he said the director has seen enough films to understand that directors use Dutch angles, but not enough to figure out why.
There's so much.
The whole movie's Dutch angles for no reason. Like, yep. There's a reason to use Dutch angles. It's not because you don't know how tripods work.
Is there a Criterion version of that where it's straightened?
No. No, the Criterion Collection, they learned their lesson when there was a Criterion Collection of Armageddon. It's like Seven Samurai and, you know, Daisies and all, you know, whatever, and Citizen Kane and Armageddon.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Criterion Collection. Armageddon.
It's a Michael Bay awesome.
Battlefield Earth was the movie that Ebert also described as not just bad, but aggressively unpleasant, like sitting next to someone who hasn't bathed in 2 weeks on the subway.
Yeah, although famously...
Which is one of my favorite movie reviews of all time.
His review of North is famously his most venomous review of anything. The one where he just said, I hated this movie. Hated it. Hated every moment of it. The great line is, I hated the implied insult that the filmmakers thought we would be entertained by it.
The director of the movie ran into Ebert in a restaurant and followed him into the bathroom and pointed at him and said, I hate your tie, and left.
Sure. I'd say that. It's good times. Great oldies.
All right, Arctic Circle says movies are better when they improve on bad source material. If we're going back to Battlefield Earth,
let's not.
It's terrible source material, and then the movie somehow made it worse.
Yeah.
Because I mean, the source material did not have every other scene at the wrong angle and dirt flying everywhere constantly.
Well, Battlefield Earth was a published book. So.
Yes, but it was a terrible book.
I just said it was a published book.
Sure, but true. Andy, you are not pronouncing book correctly. We can't hear the quotes.
Yeah.
I can't see it here. Hold on, I'll do it. Oh, I'm off camera.
I was also really disappointed with Battlefield Earth because...
Again, a bold statement if ever I've heard one.
I really hated that movie because Barry Pepper starred in it, and Barry Pepper was the sniper in Saving Private Ryan, which is actually absolutely one of my favorite acting jobs ever. And then the next film he was in killed his career, and I was like, shit.
I'll I'm going to send Nathan off. I really like the acting of the person that played Upham.
His acting's fine. He plays a detestable garbage character. Well.
Who was that? Was Upham? That Forrest?
Upham's the one that gets all of them killed because he's a piece of shit.
Okay.
Because he's a coward. I mean, and it's an unfortunate character trait that, you know, that can happen in a time of war.
Too much.
A lot of us believe that we could rise up and, you know, and take care of things, but he just plays the character that freezes.
Too much Thetans.
Yeah.
Thetans.
Yeah. Gotta get those Thetans clean. Upham?
Were you saying the Upham was part of Battlefield Earth?
Yeah. Well, you know, could have been. Criterion Collection of all the Jurassic movies that aren't Jurassic Park.
Oh, say the phrase correctly.
They got grandfathered in, unfortunately. It's kind of like Return of the King getting the Best Picture Oscar. It got the Best Trilogy Oscar, and there's no such Oscar, so they gave it Best Picture.
Yeah. That was unfortunate, because I thought Return of the King was the weakest of the three
It
movies.
Was, especially the extended edition, which is hot garbage and fills me with rage. Because few things do. I'm normally a very level-headed person, but Return of the King extended edition... No!
It's been a while since I've actually watched the...
I mean,
it's
fine, but that one is about an hour too long.
It has at least one too many parts where everybody applauds how brave and kingly it is to murder an unarmed man under a flag of truce.
I mean, but, yeah. No, I mean, Fellowship of the Ring was great.
Welcome to episode 14 of the Crippled System Podcast.
Yeah. What episode are we on?
We are on 263.
263, baby.
My name is Andy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Dave.
We got there, folks. 263, yeah. Yeah, it's a number.
It's three times 121.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's not. That'd be 363, you goober.
Did I write 363? No, I wrote 263.
Yeah, it's 260. Son of a bitch.
Now I got you doing maths.
But all three Jurassic Park movies are better than both Jurassic World movies. Holy shit, the Jurassic World movies are bad. The first Jurassic World is only bad. The second Jurassic World is aggressively terrible.
I have not seen it, but I want to invite a Nathan over to watch and drink with me while we watch the film.
Enjoy your time with Newbie.
No, not this Nate.
Fucking
would you watch it again?
I would watch Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom, Rise of the Dinos, Adventures of Blue, Part 2, if I got to be drunk and belligerent, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, if I got to scream profanity at your television for the whole fucking film.
Could we actually, we could record a riff track for it.
So, you know, did you see the first Jurassic World?
Yeah.
How Star-Lord trained the raptors?
Oh, yeah.
No. Blue's just naturally pacifistic and doesn't eat things.
Oh, what?
What?
He's a vegan raptor?
Yeah, basically.
Does that work?
That doesn't...
Well, they showed, even as a little baby, so if he, laid down and pretended he was weak, the other ones would attack him because, you know, they're predators and they need to eat meat to survive. And when something is weak, that means you can kill it. But when he'd do that with Blue would come up and nuzzle and, lick his face and cuddle with him because Blue doesn't like to hurt things.
How did the fucking end of that movie work then?
So no, it was because it was protecting.
That was the okay.
Yeah, and then you know if you build a genetic monstrosity dinosaur, and then you capture a pacifist Gandhi dinosaur, then you can have the pacifist Gandhi dinosaur raise the baby of the genetically modified monster dinosaur so that genetically modified monster dinosaur's baby will be more pacifistic and will thus be easier to teach to kill people.
Wait, no, I got it. I finally figured it out because he classified him as Gandhian. Someone else is building weapons of mass destruction, so his score went down by one.
He got democracy. Yes, that's it. I mean, Blue developed democracy between the two films. It's a Civilization the PC game reference, Andy. Uh-huh.
The weird thing though too
my
is
my favorite Stack Overflow in all history.
What's the actress that's in those two?
Christopher Pratt.
Okay, but she made it a point just because she could to wear high heels throughout the whole thing.
So
it's a neat little thing there, but it does really, really bother me when she's running away from a T-Rex
faster
a flare.
Than the thing that could outrun a Jeep going 30 miles an hour. Yeah. So if you were going to train a giant genetically engineered monstrosity dinosaur to attack people, how would you make it attack people?
I would train it to attack a light source of some sort that
a laser pointer,
and I would attach that onto maybe some kind of object that you could use to zoom in on a target. Something like a sniper rifle, because I see a lot of people can
they're
aim
used to
with
holding
a sniper rifle.
Yeah, I would take the meat bazooka.
Okay,
it's not even a sniper rifle; it's a freaking M16. The guy like stands there with a laser pointer, and then he pulls the gun's trigger, and that's what makes the dinosaur attack him, as opposed to the bullets that could just attack the guy.
Yeah. So why do you do this instead of just shooting someone?
No, hold on. Hannibal used elephants. Cavalry has used horses. Dogs have been used in military for years. Using animals in combat is nothing new.
Okay,
shark wave.
Okay, sharks? I mean, I just want to point out that
sharks
that
with freaking laser beams.
Elephants, exactly. Dogs, and horses have been used in military. Ergo, this makes perfect sense that you have a sniper rifle that makes a dinosaur attack somebody instead of shooting them. It makes sense, David.
QED.
QED. Quod erdem dinosaurum.
Okay. I mean.
Also, did you know you can do blood transfusions between species as long as they have the same number of fingers? That's why we use gorilla blood in our hospitals.
Didn't know about the gorilla?
They don't have
blood
to
farms?
Have the same number of fingers. They have to have almost the same number of fingers. They can have one fewer, but not one more. So, like, velociraptors have three fingers, so you can use anything with two or three fingers, but four fingers is right out. That's science, David.
Okay.
God, I want to watch this movie.
That's
I really want to watch this movie. I know.
Goddamn science.
So much. Oh. Geez. Yeah, Nate or Nick had brought up there too is about that Jurassic World 2 basically takes place in a James Bond universe. That's what I thought too. When I heard the description of how you make the sniper gun raptor attack.
But like,
that sounds like something that a villain in a James Bond film would do.
Because this is just like really like adding more steps to the process.
Yeah, it's just elaborate.
Well, bullets are lame. You need to have, it's not even a raptor. It's like a T-Rex size monstrosity.
Yeah.
So you need to have this thing where it can see the target and hear your gun. Because the gun, when you pull the trigger, it makes an audible tone. And that tone tells the dinosaur that it should go attack the guy that you're holding the laser pointer onto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you still need to send soldiers with guns there to point the guns at the people you want to kill and pull the trigger, but instead of bullets, it throws dinosaurs at them.
Slowly.
Yeah, like at normal dinosaur speed. It doesn't even literally shoot a dinosaur out. It just tells a dinosaur, sick 'em.
This is creating more questions than it's answering.
Oh, really? I thought this was so tightly written.
I'm already sold. I've got mine. I've got my flamethrower from the Boring Company and my Raptor gun from... What company is that? I need to order it.
Fuck.
It's so good.
That's the company's name is fucking fuck.
Yeah. And I also agree with Nick in chat that says sometimes it's sending a message. Why kill somebody from, a mile away with just a single bullet? But you could have them be torn to shreds in front of their friends and family by
just
a raptor.
What you do instead is carpet bomb the area you don't like with 100 raptors. You don't need to point lasers at anyone. They'll all die.
They might get away.
Fine.
Unless you have somebody directing traffic.
Just you raptor a zone. Like, it's a weapon of mass destruction. You just release a bunch of raptors on a city, and that city's fucked. That's the way to use, like, if you're going to legitimately try to weaponize dinosaurs in the Jurassic Park world, that's how you do it. You just have 1,000 raptors and you just airdrop them over a place and that place is fucked. You turn it into old Oni from Fallout 3, right? You turn it into whichever city has fuck tons of death claws in whatever Fallout you're playing.
You could also possibly traumatize some of your own dinosaurs by getting the cute cuddly ones to wear laser pointers and audible noise things.
Sure.
So every time they're around something that they like, then the others attack that thing.
Like the Judas goat?
I'm not familiar with
that's
the Judas
goat.
That's
a real thing. There are invasive goats like on the Galapagos Islands.
Okay, yes.
So what they did is they took a goat and they put like a tracking collar on it and they released it on the Galapagos Islands and they castrated it so it couldn't breed, right?
Sure, sure.
So this goat will find another group of goats and be like, I found some friends. And they'll give it like a week to make a lot of friends and then they follow its tracking collar, murder all of the other goats, And then it's like, all my friends are dead. And then it goes find some new friends. And they just keep following this goat around, murdering all of its friends. Because it's the easiest way to get rid of an entire herd of invasive goats.
Oh,
that poor goat.
Yeah, that's...
Sadly, that is not the worst thing that's happened to a goat in human history.
No.
I rescind my my statement about that. About the,
you know, using the Judas goat to wipe out a city makes more sense than the dinosaur solution. So, I mean, that would probably make a better movie.
How many herds of goats do you see in cities?
Have you seen the Men Who Stare at Goats?
I have, yeah. But they didn't kill goats.
No. They just kind of fell over with their arms locked.
So you're... yeah. Oh, Lord. So, like... What's your plan? Like, we're going to release a goat into a city, and everyone's going to be like, oh, that goat's adorable, and then we'll kill all the people?
It would work better than
the
dinosaur.
We're just going to kill people who think goats are...
Yeah.
We're just killing people who think goats are adorable?
We're just wiping out petting zoos.
That seems... Well, you were talking about killing 10-year-olds.
Well, it solves all of life's problems.
And we'll call it the Aristocrats.
And scene.
Hey, guys, you remember that ATC we had last week? We should probably talk about that.
Hey, I showed up for an hour, like 5 hours of it. You spreading my flag.
These two played in it.
Yeah,
we did.
If you call that playing, I bad mouth your skill.
Our teams even played each other at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like you think I can find groups of friends?
It would just be like one day, and then Nathan just be more sad than normal.
We're going to bomb the plane.
When we use the Judas goat plan, it doesn't necessarily have to be a goat. It can be a Nathan instead.
Yeah, well, that's what they were saying. Yeah, but I would find another group of invasive assholes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Subtitle, Nathan goes to the Republican National Convention.
If I knew that was happening, I would
on
make so many...
On advice of attorney, I will not comment any further on this specific topic.
Make so much new friends. They're like, oh, hey.
So anyways, that's ATC.
Yeah, that MACC, it went really well. We had the full max 32 teams this year.
Yep.
Things are going great. Good times. First day went a little long just because we were more optimistic than we should have been on time between rounds. But still, I mean, yeah,
what
it was a four-round day. But
finish on Saturday?
Like 8:30.
8:30 or something. Oh, like, it wasn't terrible. Bad. It made, you know, it was late. People got to go to dinner. It was just a late dinner. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it would have been great if we got done at like 7, and that's more of a reasonable dinner time.
But that's hyper optimistic.
Correct. That was hyper optimistic. No, I think an 11-hour day for four rounds was fine because, man, really, that's super tight.
Yeah, I mean, we ran it about as tight as you can with a lunch break and some time for prizes.
Yeah, because the rounds themselves are 2 hours with 20 minutes for pairing. So that's only 10 minutes between rounds of bullshitting around plus the hour for lunch. Like, we actually tore through it pretty fast. And in general, people really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a great event. Well. Mm-hmm. I played the most protectorate game that has ever happened.
How's that?
Judicator versus Judicator.
Everything was on fire. None of the rolls went out. Casters burned to death.
No, it was double.
You didn't bother touching your dice because your stats didn't matter.
Well, it was double judicator versus double judicator for starters, and the game ended on the top of 7 on an assassination. And at the end game, all of the judicators were in next to each other, bases touching. And when the game ended, one of the judicators had taken 5 points of damage, and the other three were completely unhurt. So, I mean, it was the entire game. I won with 27 seconds on my clock, and the entire game, all I did was shuffle. Both of us did was shuffle back and forth at the edge of the zone because we're both playing Protectorate, and we have passage, so we can't actually shoot each other.
You can punch.
Yeah, but...
he who punches first and that loses.
He who gets close enough to punch next turn loses is the problem.
Like, if your two judicators get battled, they can kill one of that guy's judicators.
Oh, one battle judicator kills a judicator
so
easily.
Why don't you just do that?
Because you can't do it without letting the other guy do it first. So we were all 10.5 inches from each other the entire game.
Well, if your judicators ended up base to base at the end of the game...
Because I had a minute on my clock,
and
he ran his judicators in because I didn't have enough time on my clock to kill him at that point, so I killed his caster instead.
Gotcha.
Because I saved Krios's feet until the top of 7 and won with it. It was a top of 7 pop and drop was what ended that game.
I also had a game where I played chicken. Mine was against two Storm Raptors. Because I'm... because I was playing John DeShazer.
Yeah.
He's running Krieger 2 with two Storm Raptors in it, and I'm like, I don't know how to fight this, so I'm just going to run full speed at him for two turns.
Mm-hmm.
So I set this up, and I'm like, okay, I'm good. And he's like, you're within 21 of both of my Storm Raptors. I'm like, oh, this is bad. And then I got the most Grimkin win ever because he rolled a 9 instead of an 8. Because I shield guarded a Storm Raptor shot, he one-shot the Krabbit, and then I healed back the full. And he had to start over halfway through.
Rude. There you go, Andy. You got there.
I'm trying not to make a ton of noise is basically what I'm trying not to do.
That was probably the most crazy of my weekend. Because there was no reason.
The fin doesn't go there when he's untrained. Or does it? Oh, yeah, and it goes inside there.
It goes inside.
I had no reason to win that game, but I did.
Stan Bush's song, not the touch, Dare is going in through my head every time I touch Hot Rod.
But,
why isn't You Got the Touch going through your head?
Because that's where I tune out that movie by that point.
You got the touch!
Honestly.
Arctic Circle asked why I was scared of two Storm Raptors, because I was camping one with the Dreamer.
Yeah. The Storm Raptors under Krieger 2 are very difficult to shoot, and if you have single wound infantry, they just kill them all, and you can't shoot them, and they threat really far, and they have enough guns between them to threaten most casters.
Also, they have a gun that once you hit, it auto hits for the rest of the turn.
Yeah.
So it's real, real bad.
Fury 4 on those things.
Yeah. So you get take 3 boosted damage rolls if the first one hits.
Yeah.
It's real, real bad.
Yeah.
It's reload 2, but.
At least two.
Reload 2 would be, but like, why would they be boosted?
Because you boost them.
You take 2 boosted. You take 2 boosted.
Boost, take one 2 boosted. You take either 2 boosted or 1 boosted and 2 regulars.
Whichever. You take whichever of those is scarier.
Correct.
Because it doesn't have to pay for its reloads.
Well, it reloads with 2 of them are used for reloads. And there's probably a boost to hit, so. Although it is.
So you'll get 3 hits, 1 of which will be boosted damage.
Correct. Yeah. All right, we got there.
Yeah, you either.
I mean, I was there to start, but I assumed I was missing something because I don't play this game.
No, I
thought maybe they had like a thing with all like tune-up.
Oh, come on, you're going to play Morvana with pigs.
Yep,
because Morvana is the best pig caster now.
Yeah. Yep.
Now we just got to figure out a way of playing Gators better than Maelok in Circle, and you're all set.
The other thing I would possibly play is whenever the Pirate CID comes out to see if I can dust off my 14 Vanguards, because if they do them in the.
Well, you know when the Pirate CID comes out.
When?
This week.
Ooh. Because I still have all my Vanguards. Actually, didn't I loan you a couple?
Yes, I have 2 yet.
Okay, yeah. You have Torg.
I know exactly.
You have Torg and the studio paint scheme done by CF3.
Correct.
Yep.
Do you have one of mine, too?
No, I just have Nathan's 2.
I have a couple Vanguards similar.
So next AITC, question is if it has Monpok. So we're looking into next year's ATC. So first of all, a side note is we'll be putting out surveys. We're putting out 2 surveys, one to the teams that were there and one to everybody, which will include the teams who were there, but will also include everybody else because that's the definition of everybody. And the other everybody will discuss possibly, you know, what other events would you like to see. If you currently do not come for the team event, would you be likely to come for something else? Because like that was an issue with the solo masters we tried to do is we easily could have gotten 64 solo masters players, except that 60 of them were playing in the team event.
Yes.
Right? So that's the issue was the overlap people preferred. But if there's 30 people that love Monpok and don't care about the team ATC event, great. We might have Monpok. You know, maybe we'll see about extending it, like Warfare Weekend's having. Maybe we'll have people in the corner playing Guild Ball or Malifaux. Who knows? Like, we need to look into where to go in future years, and that'll be part of the question.
And that's some with, at least for Guild Ball, possibly having it there, we'd have to do some discussions with the folks that, like, we already have a tight-knit crew that talks to the War Machine WTC event. So we're tight with there, but we're not yet with Guild Ball.
But that's stuff we're looking into, is other events, including other Privateer Press stuff. We just need to see the reasonability of that. Space was an issue as well. We were basically to full capacity of where we were this year. It is 99% probable that we will change venues for next year, but we don't quite know where we're going. For old school war gamers / nerds in general, you might remember when Gen Con was in Milwaukee. That's actually one of the places we're thinking about going. Huh? Yeah, Mecca. If you remember the wax sculpture cop in the lobby, you'll know that place. but, you know, maybe moving to Chicago, who knows what. There's a lot of discussion to be had, so keep your eyes out for when the survey goes out.
In fairness, it's been a week. You know, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. Like, and nobody should be impatient that the survey wasn't out.
Yeah, sorry, the survey is in editing. And yeah. By that, I mean I played Diablo last night instead of working on it.
And that's fair.
Well,
get those butterfly wings.
I mean, I helped out so much. I brought flags and the plague. And
hey, the flags were important. We actually could not have run Mirage without you showing up.
Because, I was sick for most of the weekend. And I got home and I immediately took a temperature and I had a 102-degree fever.
Speaking of you, where's Man-at-Arms?
What kind of illness was this?
I thought I had strep, but it wasn't strep. They tested negative for strep. But it was everything that strep was.
Just some nasty cold. It didn't include
nausea, did it?
Nope.
Okay. Because I threw up twice on the way home to the ATC, and that, damn it, I was going to blame that on you.
Nope. Okay. All I really had, honestly, it was a really severe sore throat and nothing else. No coughing other than fever. Okay. That was about it.
Yeah. My operating theory is that it was the waffle machine at the Super 8 I stayed at.
The what machine?
The Belgian waffle machine.
I said awful machine. I was like, awful machine?
I mean
if the waffle machine made him sick.
Yeah. It was a pretty awful machine, apparently.
Fair.
Yeah, we can definitely see some type of expansion for other games. Mm-hmm. Potentially. Depends on space is the biggest part.
Yep.
And participation.
And again, yeah, participation. Because that's a big issue is if there's 160 people there who all love Monpoc and they're all playing in the team event, there are zero people playing Monpoc.
Yep.
Right? That's part of the issue.
And that was the problem that I had when I was running the ATC Solo Masters First year we had six people, and one of them was somebody who didn't even want to play that game anymore, who won it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, that is a weird person with a weird personality.
Yep.
To put it nicely. But yeah, so we'll see. Survey will be coming out. And would you like to see Monpoc there? Will probably be one of the boxes you can check yes or no. Speaking of Monpoc, Monpoc's great. That's the end of my rant.
Okay.
Deimos 9 came out, but I haven't gotten it yet, which is annoying.
They didn't
have it at PEG, so I ordered it, and it hasn't come in yet, which is weird, because I ordered it on Tuesday, on Kaiju's Day, and they haven't gotten in yet.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully it's there this coming Tuesday, because I want to play a two-monster game.
I'm very surprised that it's full resin, though. Very surprised that those legs are resin.
Sure.
Considering the original Deimos 9 for the collectible version of the game had horrible melting issues.
He'd like to squat down.
Yeah,
It was like Old Witch 3.
For those folks that don't know what Deimos 9 is, Deimos 9 is basically what you would expect out of like War of the Worlds.
It's a tripod.
Those tripod walkers that would walk around, all except for he would be slightly tilted to the right or left or squatted all the way down. And for some odd reason, they decided to make him with full resin.
Oh, well.
As long as they mix that batch right, we're okay.
Yeah.
As long as they learn their lesson from Old Witch.
Which they did. They did.
Or if not, he'll just be teabagging my enemy's units.
Yeah. Or you could you could put a building underneath him.
He'll be going unit to unit.
Or you could make him into makes the cricket for Retribution.
Oh, the cricket walker?
Yeah, so everybody makes that into a cricket walker. You could just do the reverse for Deimos 9, put his head on the ground, and put his legs up into the air like antenna.
So, like I do for the Throne of Everblight.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, 2319.
2319? What?
What? Uh-huh. 2319. Monster.
It's today's date.
Yeah, well, in Monsters, Inc. And the guy had the sock on his back.
Yes.
Oh, 2319.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Today's today. They're 2319. There's been memes of that guy.
Gary Larson Fool had posted a picture of himself. I didn't get it at first, and then I saw the second picture, which is a shot of him with his jacket on with a sock on it.
Yeah.
Adorable.
True story. And if you're European, you can use those memes next month.
Truth.
That's my ATC talk.
Yeah.
Pirate CID is not out yet, so we can't talk about it.
Pirate's not CID is not out. The Caterer Cornucopia stuff got released finally.
Oh, Summer Rampage ended. Did they at all make any announcement over who won?
Winter Rampage.
Whatever.
Summer Rampage. Just going a little bit late.
Yeah. It's summer in Australia.
Yeah. Not yet, but it closed Friday. So.
Yeah.
Come on, Free Lail.
We'll be having our event for that next week.
Was it next week?
So,
Rick seems to think that he's going to be able to just, we're going to sneak in those results.
Like, okay, Rick. Next week? I thought it was this week?
I thought it was the 17th.
17th.
That's next week.
Yeah, it's next week.
Is that next week?
That's 2 weeks.
No, that's next week.
Oh, yep.
Yes,
that's next week.
That's next week.
I forgot it's Sunday.
Yeah. I said it right. I was very proud that I said it right this time.
That's next week.
2319.
Oh, I won't be able to play. Oh, I'm doing something that day. Sadness. Single tier. Well, because normally I show up to every War Machine event.
I mean, that probably is true if you haven't played in one in like a year, but...
Have there been any?
Yes, there's been like one or two. You have shown up to both of them and said hi and then left.
I came to two events and played in two events.
Sure.
And there were two more after that?
Probably.
Okay.
I will lend you enough circle that you can play Morvana 1 and play the pig list of your dreams.
The circle, the amount of circle I need is like four models.
Yeah.
Which I have like three collections of circle that you can choose from.
Yeah. There's a version of that list that has like a full unit of circle just to use that one spell she has that's garbage, but I'm not going to bother.
Okay.
I think I have like three copies of Morvana 2 as well.
Oh, it's Morvana 1.
It's Morvana 1.
Yes.
Because yeah. Morvana 1 gets to cast Mortality 3 times, and then my three units of brigands rip the table apart.
And then they fall and break.
To what?
You're ripping the table apart.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I literally will Mortality the table, and they'll just shoot it and just, like, create a crevasse.
I will win, then.
The force of my brigands will blast the earth apart.
I mean, I would just play Butcher, and I'll just cast Obliteration.
Yeah, too late. Already did it. Lowercase E, Andy. Lowercase E. Just a little dirt clod goes... It's far less impressive than you think. It's like when they would aerate the soil in like your junior high and high school, and there'd be those little pellets that looked like goose poop, and you'd like squish them, and they'd like, yeah, it's those.
I'm sorry, they don't do that anymore because those cause cancer.
Oh,
what?
I don't know. They all cause cancer.
Everything causes cancer. The dirt and grass, that probably causes cancer.
As it turns out, surviving everything else eventually causes cancer. So yes, everything does cause cancer.
Mm-hmm. Or nothing causes cancer.
Yeah.
In so much as nothing is a thing that also causes cancer.
I was trying to equate a FDR quote to cancer, and I'm like, I'm just not going to say it.
The only thing we have to cancer is cancer itself. I don't.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say it.
I don't know.
2 of 10. Try again.
2319.
I did not bother seeing the sequel to that movie.
Monster
True story.
The college years.
Yeah, man, was I ambivalent to that shit.
It was not bad.
Well, let's find out how ambivalent, more or less ambivalent than Solo.
Oh, more ambivalent. Solo, I was actively hostile towards. Monsters University, I just did not care about. It's like if somebody told me there was like an NSYNC concert coming to town, I'd be like, oh,
there is one coming to town. Actually,
there is actually one coming to town.
Yeah, see,
NSYNC is still a thing.
I think they're a thing again.
Yeah, okay. I mean, cause
I think it's a reunion tour.
Because all the people who were like in their late teens and early 20s when they were around
have jobs and can buy tickets themselves instead of bugging their parents.
So they're like,
for it.
Let's do another round of touring, even though we're all in our late 40s.
Okay.
Did you hear about Kiss's farewell tour?
Which one?
The newest one, which they basically said is like, yeah, Ace and Peter, they can come and join us on. But we don't want them there all the time, so they're not invited to be actually on the tour, but they could special guest.
Wait. Isn't Peter Crispin dead for like 20 years?
No. No, just his career.
Thing is, to be perfectly honest, Kiss has gone on much longer than Ace and Peter have been into the band. I mean, the timeline that Ace and Peter were in the band and the timeline from that point where they were gone until now, they've... You know, it's shorter than the length of the band.
They were, right. The majority of the band's existence, they weren't in the band.
Correct.
That's
what I'm trying to say.
Yep, like, just the part that mattered.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Queen is technically still a band and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so annoyed when they're saying, oh, Steely Dan is touring. It's like, no.
Aren't they all dead?
No, half of them are. Steely Dan is the duo. Well, it's like there's only one guy left.
Same thing with Lynyrd Skynyrd as well. Yeah. They keep on losing those members left and right. They lost half the band in the 70s.
back when, well, I think he still does it, but the year 2000 sketch that Conan O'Brien would do, one of the ones I remembered was that Hall and Oates were each touring, and one band was called Hall and one band was called Oates, but Hall was in Oates and Oates was in Hall. It just reminded me of this kind of shit. And speaking of Justin Timberlake, just to touch base here as a possible recurring topic of conversation, is anyone else's spouse slash significant other slash whatever forcing them to watch The Masked Singer?
No,
thank God.
I don't even know what that is.
I guess we don't get to talk about it.
I know what
it
is.
It's a Korean show that America now has its version of, which is there's 12 celebrities who are singing, and each week one of them gets kicked off the show and reveals who they are. But until then, you don't know who is behind the mask.
This sounds like trash.
It is. It's hot, utter trash that I can't stop watching because, A, I was literally being forced to watch it, and, B, now I need to know who the B is.
So
who's Gladys Knight, by the way? The B is totally Gladys Knight. All the clues fit Gladys Knight being so the B being Gladys Knight.
So what tier of celebrities have gotten kicked off in this so far?
So let's see. Kicked off so far. So the thing is, because they're eliminating the worst ones, it's the lower tier ones that are being eliminated because a couple of the ones that are still in it are really fucking good.
But the singing, but they're singing with the it, to me, it doesn't sound like that they're singing with the actual appliance on them. They're just lip syncing.
No, they're definitely singing.
So you could hear like the muffled inside the helmet.
Yeah, because they have some of them are in the helmet. I think that like the microphone they hold is more a prop. I think they have one of those underneath it. Some of them have like a mask that's almost like comes down to here, and it's like a Batman style where their mouth is visible. And those ones actually do just use the standard hold mic.
Batman.
But so far eliminated. Tommy Chong, good old Tommy Chong, who, man, no one sounds more like Tommy Chong than Tommy Chong. That was the easiest pick out of there, except Jenny fucking McCarthy, who's one of the judges, thought it was Cheech. The worst part of the show is that the celebrity panel includes one of the Pussycats dolls, which is fine, and then it has Dr. Ken, who was funny in Hangover, and I'm sick of him now.
Yeah,
and
pretty
he's the funny one on the panel, and I every time he talks, I just want to punch him because he's that funny where it's not funny because he's trying too hard to be funny.
Yes.
And then the guy that made a hit song about raping a woman because everybody loves how fun it is to rape women.
Which one?
The I know you don't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Ha ha ha.
That didn't narrow it down.
Blurred Lines.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that's which one.
The one where the chorus is "You know you want it," which is a line that no one has ever said outside of A, talking the person they're on a date with who's supposed to be on a diet to have some cheesecake, or B, raping somebody. And that song was not about cheesecake. So it's
so Robin Thicke or Real Thicke?
Robin Thicke.
Okay.
So if it was Alan Thicke.
It's Jenny McCarthy, famed child murderer. Robin Thicke, famed rapist. Dr. Ken, famed not funny guy, and one of the Pussycat dolls, famed nobody gives a shit.
I would say not famed rapist. I would say famed song about raping.
Famed rapist rape glorifier.
Rape glorifier. I will go with that one there because I wouldn't. That would be wrong to say that.
Famed rape enthusiast.
The last three episodes
he
have
did
had
rape Marvin Gaye's song though.
Yeah. The last three episodes have had a guest judge, although him being on three episodes means he's been on more episodes than he wasn't on, so I don't know if he's like a guest judge, but it was Joel McHale, and I love Joel McHale, so that
Joel
was kind of
okay.
But the judges are the worst part, especially since they don't actually judge the audience votes. They just guess who they think the people are, and they're dumb and always wrong.
You can get somebody better than Jenny McCarthy.
You sure fucking can.
Fuck.
But anyway, we had
corpse.
Tommy Chong got eliminated. Some football player who I don't know, although he'd been to like three Super Bowls, so he's apparently like a decent football player. Terry Bradshaw
was singing.
Yeah, he actually has several albums. He's a country singer. He did not sing well on that, and he blamed the costume.
What's the name of this?
Masked Singer.
I forgot.
I was going to say Terry Bradshaw can barely talk.
So can Ozzy Osbourne, talking versus singing. So Terry Bradshaw, a random football player, Tommy Chong, Margaret Cho. And the most recent one was Tori Spelling. Who Tori Spelling we had figured out. Tommy Chong, Tori Spelling, and I know that the B is Gladys Knight. And the other one that I'm 100% positive of is one of the really good singers on there. He talked about being in a boy band. He's a little chunky, so we think it's Joey Fatone. And that's what brought this up, because we were talking about NSYNC.
Joey Fat One.
Who trained with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think. Mm-hmm.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Oh,
but anyway.
Yeah. He's a very good receiver.
Yeah, he just. I mean, he chose not a very good singer.
He chose him by Bobby Brown too. Which
yes, yeah, my prerogative. He sang, but like it's terrible trash, but it's definitely guilty pleasure. Terrible trash. So you all need to watch it, catch up on Hulu, and watch new episodes so we can talk about it on these.
Okay,
these
I kind of want to watch Tommy Chong sing "I Will Survive."
It was great. It was actually legit. Like even the bad ones are legit. And it was actually kind of a shame Tori Spelling get eliminated because she was garbage her first two episodes. And then this episode was like she actually sang pretty damn well. But by now, all the bad singers have been eliminated. So to cite singing like at a B-minus level, she was still the worst person in the episode. It was cute. Good stuff. The Raven, we think, is Ricky Lake because she's got that physique. And she talked about being a talk show host. It is a woman who's built like Andy, who was a talk show host, and talked about a recent tragedy. And Raylene said that Ricky Lake's husband died like in the last couple of years.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah.
Unless she killed him, and then.
But
yeah. Maybe then probably maybe still sucks.
Then she probably wouldn't be available for a reality TV show.
Yeah. Unless she got
she's
away with
celebrity.
It. She's a celebrity. Yeah. I mean, unless she got away with it. That's my story. But you guys don't watch it, so we can't have our theories.
Okay. I mean, you pretty much covered everything we need to know, which is...
Well, you can disagree. Yeah. You could have been like, you're a fool. That's not Ricky Lake. It's totally Wendy Williams.
I mean, like I said, you taught us the one important thing, which is we need to go listen to Tommy Chong sing I Will Survive.
Yes. It is the Tommy Chongest thing ever. It's amazing how...
Did somebody actually get... They guessed that it was Cheech.
Jenny McCarthy was like, you're Cheech or Chong. I'm going Cheech. And the guy's... Nick Cannon's up there on stage, and this guy's like a foot taller than Nick Cannon, and she's guessing Cheech. I'm like, you dumb, dumb woman.
Yeah, completely different.
Completely different voices.
Completely different voices. Everything, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's a guilty pleasure. It's not good.
It's going to get canceled after this season, what it sounds like. But it looks, according to ratings, it's not going to make it another season. But all you need is one.
Or is it one of those trash things that people watch even though it's trash?
I mean, yes, but...
So, like, and if these C-lists... Like, how much can it really cost to get Tommy Chong?
He was on Fiverr for about... whatever.
Cameo? What
Cameo for, like, 200.
Yeah. So my point is, they got a budget of $50, right? Because they're hiring a whole bunch of has-beens / C-list celebrities.
Yeah, all they have to do is put...
Dr.
Really
Ken
put, I don't know,
is
I mean,
their highest... talent on that entire show.
I mean, Terry Bradshaw actually has a day job, so I don't know. They probably paid him something.
Maybe.
I mean,
they did correctly guess Terry Bradshaw based entirely on his laugh. Like, as they were doing the guesses, like, the first person guessed something and he laughed and he did that, like, shoulder up and down thing. Yeah. And Robin Thicke's like, that's Terry Bradshaw's shoulder laugh. Which, yeah, that's Terry Bradshaw's shoulder laugh. And that's the end of that topic of discussion. Good peter out. I like that. That's our shtick.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of peter out to silence.
Definitely having that straight line of silence.
Yeah, don't edit those out. That's our new gimmick.
No.
This is going to be fantastic for anybody listening to it after the automatic silence culling goes on because that...
We sound much better.
Yeah.
Community was indeed Dr. Ken's high point. Because the issue with Dr. Ken is that he's always Dr. Ken.
Like, yeah, he doesn't.
You've seen it all.
I mean, you get typecast after a point.
Well, you get typecast because you don't change and you're the same thing each time.
See Tommy Chong.
Some people fight being typecast and some people embrace it and some people have nothing else they can do. So even if they tried to fight it, that's what you are. And I think he's in that third one. Even if he wanted to try to do something else, he would suck.
It's like his
I don't see a great drama.
Like, I don't know.
He's not going to do his version of like Punch Drunk Love.
So
you know?
I don't know. What has he been cast into that they didn't want him to be Dr. Ken?
I don't know.
I mean, I tend to err on the side.
Could
of
be his
just,
choice too.
I
mean, he could,
I mean,
be
he could
just,
definitely be. He could definitely say, yeah, you know, it's like I'm only good at this one thing, so I'm going to be this one thing.
Or I don't have to work if I want to do this one thing.
Yeah.
People will keep giving me money. Why should I change?
Yeah. I'm loud and I have a small penis. Those are my two strengths. Cast me.
Yeah, unfortunately, we saw that penis. And
you know, to his credit, it was used to great comedic effect every time he showed it.
Hangover is actually a really good film.
Hangover is a legitimately good film. Hangover 2 is not as bad of a sequel as you would think it is. It's basically the first movie again.
Mm-hmm.
but it's not bad. And then the third one is fine if you go into it realizing that it's not funny. Like, if you go into Hangover 3 and somebody's like, this is just a bleak drama about death and despair and there's no comedy to be found in it, it's pretty good. But if you think it's going to be funny because, oh, I don't know, it's supposed to be a comedy, you won't like it.
Yeah.
But halfway through it, I shifted my brain, and I'm like, come on, Nathan, pretend it's not a comedy. And then I like the rest of it.
So you're just like, be nihilist?
Yeah. If you go into Hangover 3 looking for pure nihilism, you will find a good film. It is bleak as shit.
Like, does that strategy work for Battlefield Earth, too?
No. No.
It's too bad even for that.
Yeah. God, we got to figure out this date. Wait, actually, for Jurassic World 2.
The Dutch angles. You can't see the nihilism.
No.
All the nihilism is happening off camera.
Yeah, it's too low.
Yeah.
I want to see restoration of that film.
Tilt the camera to avoid it.
I want to see a restoration of that film with
where they just straighten all the Dutch angles.
Of the Dutch angles.
So on the Something Awful forums, there is a thread that's just for like posting cosplay pictures. And there's actually several threads, because one's for your own and one's for just ones you find or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's someone who all they do is they go through the thread and they take the pictures and then straighten the Dutch angles and then repost the picture. Because people cosplay vanity, or people Dutch angle their cosplay vanity shots like there's no fucking tomorrow.
Yeah, and
I don't know how much of it is because anime Dutch angles things and how much of it is just because vanity shots Dutch angle things, but it's really goddamn noticeable. And so this guy just rotates every cosplay photograph.
I mean, that the Battlefield 1 director, I swear, played Resident Evil and thought that the stupid camera angles in Resident Evil were the greatest accomplishment in cinema.
Mm-hmm. Everybody likes tank controls.
Or in the video game, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have loved it if the movie they made everybody run around like in tank controls.
There is a great video I just saw right before coming here of someone playing the Resident Evil 2 remake mm-hmm. that I will show you guys. But I don't know if any of you have played the new Resident Evil 2.
No.
It's supposed to be really good.
Do you remember the original Resident Evil 2 at all? Yeah. You know, and the tyrant Mr. X was chasing you like for the whole game.
Yeah.
So there's a shot. It's just
that's Resident Evil 3, isn't it?
3 had Nemesis. 2 had Mr. X,
which was
basically just a dude. It wasn't as malformed as Nemesis was. But it was the same concept. The big mechanical change for Nemesis was they gave the Nemesis the ability to open doors, whereas in Resident Evil 2, you could still escape from Mr. X just by going through a door because they were separate loading zones.
But he can open walls.
In scripted areas.
Yeah.
Nemesis was always able to go. He was always being tracked behind the scenes by the game, so he could be anywhere.
Sure.
Whereas in 2, Mr. X was a scripted encounter. In the 2 remake, I believe he's more like Nemesis, where he can go anywhere because the mechanics allow for that, and it makes the game much more terrifying. So the GIF is just a guy coming down a ladder, and he's climbing down the ladder, and right as he gets towards the bottom, he just sees the Mr. X right there, and he just climbs right back up the ladder. just nope.
Yeah. I've heard really good things. I've watched like the beginning intro sequence to Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, it's the second highest selling game on Steam right now.
Resident Evil games in general are good. Like even the bad ones have something to be said for them.
There's not even well 5 and 6
they're
are
like cheesy fun. You got
5 is not bad if you play co-op from what I hear on that because the AI
gut
controls
punching a boulder.
It just doesn't feel like Resident Evil because you don't have to care about your ammo count.
Yes. And then 6 is just the weird multi-team station.
Yeah, it's Gears of Resident Evil.
Yeah. But yeah, 1 through 4 is decent. 7, Biohazard
DLC is where you play as the hillbilly with the mechano fist punching your swamp thing brother to death.
I have not played it. I've watched parts of it.
It's amazing.
I don't know if I can actually play that game because I hate horror films.
So Resident Evil 7 was terrifying. Yes. And I actually stopped. I borrowed it from somebody and I was so stressed out I stopped. I just had to. It was so fucking stressful. And there's a DLC that is along that line as well, which is still that. But the DLC where you play as a hillbilly and you're just going around punching zombies in the face and you get a mechanical fist and you're just punching Swamp Thing in the face is amazing. It's like you're playing as a WWE guy.
Swamp Thing.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, Resident Evil 2. Number 2 game on Steam. You know what's not the number 2 game on Steam? Artifact.
You know, also is not the number 2 game on Steam? Is
Fallout 76?
Metro.
Yeah, it's not going to be at all on Steam, which is a shame. Metro games are good. Well, eventually. It's limited time exclusive to... And I'll tell you what, I'm team the developer of Metro who complained about all the whiny bitches about this. It takes you
five minutes
to install the Epic Games launcher.
Don't worry. They've already walked back his comments and said that we're sorry, English is not his first language.
That's
the only problem
I
have
with 5 minutes to install that launcher.
Here's the only problem I have with the... So what we're talking about here is the developer of Metro. I don't know the developer. It's like four something.
Yeah. Some Russian
studio. But it's a Russian studio. One of the coders. And it's not like the guy in charge of the whole game was this. It was just one of the guys that worked on it.
Well, no. The developer actually made the decision to go with a different... The
publisher.
Publisher. Do this. Went with a different release point. Instead of having it being released over on Steam for PC, like what most people do, they ended up going with a third party, Epic Games, because they just started out theirs.
And Epic Games is paying hot money for people to give them exclusivity.
Yeah, they're paying hot money, and they have a better deal overall for the publishers who are on there. That's like 88% goes to them rather than what Steam is basically taking 30% of whatever. Or basically, it's 88 to 70%.
Roughly Epic gives more money, so they're getting exclusivity now with a lot of people.
So the only problem I have with this Metro one is that they were already doing pre-sales on Steam itself before they announced.
Done pre-sales or just announced it was going to be on Steam? I thought it was pre-sales. Just announced. Okay.
So there's people out there who gave their money there expecting the game to be out on February 15th or whatever it is to be on Steam, and Steam's like, no, sorry. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there were pre-sales. I knew it had been announced it would be on Steam. If there were indeed pre-sales, that's a little dickish.
Yeah.
But on the that would change my stance slightly. But still, like, I don't care.
If there's
a console game I super want, and then they're like, hey, we're not going to be sold at Target. I'm like, okay, I'll just drive to Best Buy. Like, I'm still getting the game.
Correct.
Like, I don't care.
I mean, it did suck for
also Destiny. Fuck Steam.
Destiny was another thing there too, where basically everything that was on the PS4 for Destiny was out 6 to 8 months later over for Xbox.
Sure.
Or PC, I think, at the time. Where
I just also can't feel bad for Steam.
No. I mean, the amount of shit that goes through that system.
They do no policing of their content, so all they do is sit there raking in money for zero effort. They need someone to take them down a few pegs. They need to get fucked over a barrel. They need to lose a lot of money so that they either clean up Steam or release something that ends with the number 3. Do one of those two things.
Team Fortress 3.
Team Fortress 3. Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Portal 3. Half-Life 3. The zombie one.
Artifact 3.
No, but what's the zombie one? Fucking Left 4 Dead 3. Like, all these things, do it.
Yeah.
At least a third of any of these things.
Artifact 3.
Yep, we just go right to Artifact 3.
If you're not programming these fucking things.
Go straight to... that's actually probably the best way for them to... They could say like
Windows
3...
the Windows 10 thing where you go from 8 to 10 and skip 9 just to distance it?
No, well, they could also say like 3 is coming.
That'd go over well. If they advertised that the third of something was coming out and it was Artifact 3, people would murder them.
It'll be fine.
Actually, there's a good reason why they skipped from Windows 8 to Windows 10.
It was purely marketing.
No.
It was because a number of developers, when they query the vendor string for the operating system, a lot of them check for Windows 9 because that covers 95, 98 SE. So they look it would be a serious bug in a lot of old software if they called it Windows 9.
It's still dumb, but it's because we're lazy, not because they're marketing geniuses.
It's still dumb. Interesting. It's still dumb, but there's actually a reason for it.
Dumb.
Yeah. Like,
so what I should have done.
The software community do apologize for us being lazy.
I should have gone.
In fairness, that was back when bytes mattered.
I should have gone from Windows 7 on my old laptop here to Windows 8, which would have killed this poor laptop here, and then gone to Windows 95.
Now, if you're going to do something that dumb, at least go to 98. Stuff will actually work.
Yeah.
Like, 95 doesn't know what USB is.
Fuck it. Go 3.1. Play Scorched Earth. I'm playing Scorched Earth on 3.1. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll bring it up your DOS box to play like Darklands or shit like that.
Oh, God.
I need my boot disk in order to run.
Darklands was amazing until it crashed randomly.
Well, it's available on GOG and they made it not crash. It's like $5. So play you some Darklands. That game is amazing.
I still have my copy of Arena.
So King of Dragon Pass?
Never played that one.
Ah, King of Dragon Quest. It's like a text choose your own adventure kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you like run a little like village in like this medieval time, and the shit that happens is bizarre. Like you run across this other village that's all like duck people, like Howard the Duck, and you have to decide whether to fuck them over or befriend them. Spoiler for that one: do not fuck over the duck people. You do not want to mess with them. But just weird stuff.
Do like, not fuck a duck.
You can fuck a duck. Like you can, you know, that's fine. Just don't fuck them over. Or like one of my favorite little weird things that shows how weird this game. There's a haunted house, and you can sue the ghost for trespassing, and see if you have a good enough ghost lawyer. That's one of the ways to solve that problem.
Okay.
A big mechanic is that people, they reenact historical events, and they'll do full-on like cosplay. Like, you know, I'm Washington crossing the Delaware, and they'll reenact it. But if during the reenactment you change something and the performance is good enough, you convince the gods that that's how it happened, and you rewrite history.
Okay.
So you change the current universe based on that. So you'd be like, I'm the guy who invented maps, but I made it this way. And now all the maps will like be centered around you because that's how the guy invented maps, according to you now, and the gods believe it. The game's amazing. It's actually on Android as well. It might be on iOS. I'm not sure. But it's on PC, Android, iOS. It's like $10. It is batshit insane and just brilliant.
You guys got phones, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I recommended King of Dragon Pass in a previous episode.
I have remembering at least some of this.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay.
That's that topic. Good Peter out, guys.
Yep.
Good Peter out.
Yep. Working out awesome.
Jesus Christ.
Do we have anything else that we want to talk about?
There's probably Zappity Grumbles.
Was there?
Jim always puts some Zappity Grumbles on there. I remember because I saw the one and I thought it was a really dumb question.
Yeah, Jim.
Well, to be
entertain
fair,
Nathan better.
No, to be fair, the question just needs to be really honed in exactly what he's asking. The question was, like, what's a game you love that you'd be willing to give up if you had to? And the answer is literally any of them, depending on why I'm giving it up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, I will murder your whole family unless you stop playing Gwent, I'll stop playing Gwent.
William?
Like,
wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I will take odds on that one.
Okay. Okay.
Actually,
Republicans will be in power forever unless you stop playing Gwent.
Actually, I know how to get Nathan to stop playing Gwent. Just make the first level filled with clickers.
Oh, I thought I was just going to have Jim enjoy it.
Jim likes
Gwent. Not
that
Jim. Yeah, oh. Jim played Gwent. I would go over to the Christensen's house, and Jim and Keith and I would play Gwent.
Don't they both hate it now?
They stopped playing when Homecoming came around, but the newest patches, I think, may have drawn them back in.
Yeah, that is actually what the question was. What game that you truly enjoy would give up forever if you had to?
I mean, if I had to, I'd give up any of them because I have to.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same thing. So it's basically name your top game that you're just not going to give up.
Yeah, it's what's your favorite game? Fuck you.
favorite game I'm never going to play again? Probably one of the Red Alert games because EA keeps shooting down that studio.
No, you can got a phone,
say,
right?
I mean, can I just say Skyrim because I love the game, but I'm probably never going to play it again.
I'm not playing the Red Alert mobile game.
You could play the Red Alert mobile game.
That game is hot garbage.
Just as long as you download and play Dungeon Keeper as well.
fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
It's such a good idea for a game, but just horribly...
Dungeon Keeper as it is. Like, actual Dungeon Keeper being ported to phones would be great.
Is a great game, but...
But the Dungeon Keeper mobile game is not a great game.
No. Do you like microtransactions? Do you like waiting a day for your one block to disappear?
Remember how your imps would dig that thing out in 2 seconds?
Yep.
Make it 24 hours.
Yep.
Unless you give us a dollar.
Yep.
So it's not even well monetized microtransactions.
No, it's pure fuck you.
Yeah, it's just full on. Greed. Give us your money to play our game.
At that point, shouldn't I just give Blizzard $15 and play WoW again?
Yeah, you should. You should come play with me.
I actually was tempted. I'm like, I should re-download WoW just so I can play a Tauren Paladin for a while and remember why I hate this.
So,
well, you don't like Tauren Paladins?
Are awesome.
They're the best.
Yeah,
I'm still angry at them changing how the shield mechanic worked, and that was like 4 expansions ago.
Oh, well, you'd play a Retribution Paladin because those are the betters.
No, I'm a tank. Fuck that.
They made this is amazing.
You played Final Fantasy Tactics, right?
Nope.
Oh my god, you haven't played Final Fantasy Tactics?
Oh no, I played it. I just didn't care for it.
That's worse.
So anyway, Dave, before you go on to your tangent.
So I was saying before we needed chains for the wall. We're going to strap Dan to the wall until he appreciates Final Fantasy Tactics.
Sex podcast now?
Yes.
Sex podcast.
Yes.
Well, you're choosing me?
Of the 3 choices I have, I don't know how flattered you should be, but yes. All right. Read into it if you have to, Dan, but you're my it if I had to.
All right.
That's two of the five ATC committee members.
So all right. So then, Nathan, who are you going to marry? Who are you going to kill?
Oh, Lord. Hey, you and I were basically married once already.
That's pretty much it, too. Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
Sorry, Dave. I'm not answering the rest of this. Unfortunately, pretty much mine is going to be the same.
Three of the five ATC committee members. Now I just need to get the Canadians.
I will just say, from my perspective, I get the merciful option here.
Death?
Yes. Yeah. I am okay with this.
So Andy and I are married, but we're cheating on each other with Dan.
Are we?
Or it's just an open relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
And I am completely uninvolved with this.
We're married and you just keep Dan in your basement.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm out like mowing the lawn and then Nathan can have his way.
And you come in from mowing the lawn and I give you some lemonade and tell you that I got Dan ready for you.
Jesus Christ.
I apologize. I blame someone else for
it's
this.
It's all consensual, though. As long as it's all consensual. We're not forcing anything.
Yeah, I know. The chains are consensual. Yeah. I'm trying to massage Jim's question a little more. Like, where's the breaking point of a game you're willing to give up, like, you know, for, like, a significant other or something? Not, like, if the universe would end. And then something that is such an ingrained hobby that you would not give it up and they have to come to terms with it.
So basically, how addicted are you to the MMO?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how addicted are you to MMO?
You're trying to find out if I'm going to stop playing WoW anytime soon.
Or how important is War Machine as a social outlet for you that if your significant other is like, you have to stay home on War Machine 9, you'd be like, these are my friends, and they're part of my life, mm-hmm. and you need to respect that. Like, that's a question that maybe does have an answer we can narrow into, but it's a difficult one.
Yeah.
I mean...
Alternatively,
we just talk about fuck Activision and fuck Blizzard.
I'm okay with that.
That's a much better topic. A much less sticky topic.
Correct.
So what happened with Activision and Bungie? Destiny 2.
Yeah, Bungie severed their relationship with Activision. And said, they said, we're taking our Destiny 2 and we're going home.
Well, they basically said, it was kind of a little bit more like, you guys can have Destiny.
Oh, yeah. Activision also is like, we're not making nearly as much money as we did because you guys still have too much control over this. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all good for everybody who plays Destiny.
No, not you. He's talking about the chat.
Give up the game or have to drink Miller. I mean, I need to have more water in my diet anyway. So
yeah, stay hydrated. Okay. Drink that Miller Lite.
Yeah, but if I'm going to drink again, no.
No, there's so many other.
No, that's the good thing. You're technically not drinking. Like that's not alcohol.
That's true.
You're technically not drinking.
It's just like seltzer.
Hold on. It's on the kids' menu in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Hold on, my brain mixed up that and Budweiser.
Yeah.
Budweiser.
Yeah.
No, I mean it's the LaCroix
the champagne
of
beers.
LaCroix.
No, High Life is the champagne of beers.
Sure.
No, it says right there on the fucking can.
Yeah, it does.
Or a bottle.
Before I came over here, I saw like the first 5 minutes of the Super Bowl, and one of the commercials was for alcoholic sparkling water, and I could not stop projectile vomiting.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was hard seltzer.
But, so, to go back about... Yeah. Yeah. To go back about Activision...
Is that just carbonated vodka?
Yes. Yeah, I guess.
It's like, what happened when we pour vodka into the soda stream?
So
neutral grain spirits with carbonated water instead of neutral grain spirits with water, which is what vodka is.
So what EA does is they buy a studio that makes good single-player games.
And shit on
it. They force them to make that single-player game into a microtransaction bonanza. Then the game fails, then EA shuts down the studio. That's what Activision was going to do to Bungie, and Bungie just got out of it before it happened.
Yeah.
So if Bungie can turn Destiny 2 around and make it not a pay-to-win Activision game and make it a fun fucking game,
What other games are... what other studios are in the Activision Blizzard Family.
I don't know. I'm saying EA does that.
EA yeah. does
this
that.
Was
yes,
Activision
correct.
Doing correct. It, but normally it's EA that does it. Like, look at Dead Space 3, for the love of God.
Correct. Because Activision well, there's tries so to copy many,
there's
everything
so many EA
does, except Activision is
but
in
the Dead Space was the most obvious one, where Dead Space 1 and 2 were just pure single-player games, and Dead Space 3, they introduced literally paying for better equipment in your game, and then it bombed, and then they shut down the studio.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Or even a lot of the new Star Wars games that they've just... canceling yeah. their games and then shutting
three
them
more
studios.
Years.
Jesus.
3 more years and
Disney
the
needs to sue them for not upholding their end of that deal and get it back now.
That would be a wonderful thing.
Because they've released 2 games in the like decade they've had the license.
Technically three. Galaxy of Heroes is EA Mobile.
Ugh, fine.
That
three.
Is the good the best of the three though.
So they released a mobile gacha game.
And it's
well,
yeah,
in
it's,
fairness, that
I'm sorry,
was one of
gacha.
That was one of the first ones, so at least it was innovatively crash.
So they released a mobile game, a buggy pile of shit, and an worse. Even worse buggy pile of shit that also was pay to win. And fuck yeah, that's going to happen to Anthem, chat. That's exactly what's happening to Anthem.
Also,
is EA bought BioWare? They're forcing them to take a good single-player game and shoehorn in microtransactions, ruining the game. It's going to fail, and they're going to kill BioWare. That's what EA does over and over and over again.
Did you see about how much hot piles of garbage the Anthem...
The demo is
they
terrible.
Had some, what was it, what do they call it, the VIP demo was?
Yeah, the demo was god-awful terrible. And they're doing the standard pay to get it on different day release method with 17 different versions of the game.
They just need to, really honest, for a lot of these companies, they need to have somebody out there who has, who knows what product they're putting out there and label it as such. Well, Anthem, they don't
work.
Need to call it a demo because it wasn't a demo. It was like a beta alpha test is what they were doing. But it was actually a beta alpha test for a game that's out next week.
Well, I mean, they can't, of course.
Activision owns Raven. Yeah. I forgot about that.
They can't, of course, actually label things because if they did it accurately, nobody would buy games in the genre of microtransaction fuckfest.
Nope. I kid you not. And there's a YouTube streamer there that I listen to sometimes, and he's annoying as hell. But I agree with him. Had Bethesda released and said, came out at E3 and said, hey, we're coming out with an open world mechanic with massive multiplayer, and we want you guys to help us build it. And if they release Fallout 76 there with that intention, with that mindset,
and said this is an open beta,
this is an open
early
beta,
access.
Or, yeah, early access. We would not be talking about how shitty Bethesda is right now.
They would not be giving away copies of Fallout 76 with used controllers.
Used PS4 controllers.
Used PS4 controllers come with a copy of Fallout 76. Copies of
In
Fallout
Germany,
76 come with copies of Fallout 76. Because they're selling the Fallout 76 PS4s.
Oh,
they
no.
come with Fallout 76, and it's coming with an extra copy.
Just
Fallout.
Stuck to the
yeah,
side of the box.
Literally taped to the side of the box. So you buy a PS4 and get 2 copies of Fallout 76.
But if that game would have been released early access,
why would I want to buy 3 copies of Time Cop? I don't want to buy 1 copy of Time Cop.
No, every you what? It is so much. It's a much better movie than Looper. Time Cop.
So which of the microtransaction fuckfest providers was publishing the new From Software game? Was that EA or Activision?
What's the From Software game?
Sekiro Shadow something, the Samurai Dark Souls.
Oh yeah, From Software. Yes, yes. That is Activision.
Okay,
Activision.
Yeah, I actually don't pay a lot of attention to publishers, I have liked all of the Dark Souls games.
Correct. So the issue
is evil and functional or evil and incompetent? That's the flip.
It's just whether or not Activision fucks it over enough to ruin the flawless record that From Software has. And who knows? We'll just have to see. Because if it's fucking Dark Souls, but you can pay real money to get your souls back without traveling to your corpse, like...
For honestly, most of the games, at least from my experience, most of the games that Activision Blizzard have put out have been more secretive in their shenaniganry, as in their... How much they're selling for microtransactions as compared to like the other companies. I mean, like they don't seem to just destroy the game with microtransactions.
Well, as they do, just not openly. So whereas EA will sell
But I mean, they're not like
EA will sell loot boxes that give you better stuff overtly, whereas Activision will secretly and
the Diablo 3 auction house.
No, well, no, that the lowering plan. Experience in Destiny 2, where they secretly fuck the game over behind the scenes, literally. To force you to spend money to get the game back to where it was before.
I guess that's,
so they'll do it more maliciously.
I guess I'm more of in the Blizzard the Blizzard part of the EA or the Activision part.
I don't know what other than cosmetic stuff and MOBA characters has Blizzard put
the
on
auction house.
Well, other than the auction house, which was a shit show.
No, so it's Activision's the issue. But you know, when something says Activision Blizzard. It's Activision that's the issue. Yeah. Blizzard, I like. Yeah. Like the auction house.
I was just curious.
I think it was a good idea.
The auction house wasn't the problem. The problem was the 1 in 10,000 rare drop chance.
Yeah, the auction house with how Diablo works was a disaster. Like that didn't look malicious to me. That looked like an actual attempt to give people who like that kind of shit for no good reason something that they wanted. I don't agree with those players actually liking it, but that's fine. Like that wasn't malicious. It just didn't work. But, meanwhile, Activision patenting Skinner box mechanics to force people to buy more stuff is malicious.
I forgot. So whenever I think of Activision, I do not have them tied together with Blizzard in my mind, though. Yeah, I forgot that they were doing they patented the matchmaking with somebody who's got, like, a really good gun. Right. So you could see that gun. You're like, I want that gun.
They track what equipment you like. So in this example, let's say you like sniper rifles, and they see that you play with sniper rifles
more
often.
Hold on. Do they shoot T-Rexes?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's what it is. They see that you like sniper rifles.
Why isn't that a modded gun in some game yet?
So they put you into a match with somebody who has the T-Rex gun. Mm-hmm. So you can see the T-Rex gun and go, wow, that's really cool, and then you buy the T-Rex gun.
But you told me like an hour and a half ago that I shouldn't buy the T-Rex.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't.
This is Nathan telling you. Can you imagine that? Not Activision. Activision thinks you really should buy the T-Rex.
Can you imagine that in the game, though?
I mean, in a game, it's awesome. In a game, if you point a laser at somebody and a fucking T-Rex comes flying off camera and murders them, I will never stop playing your game.
But they won't be there right away, though. So you'd be like, oh, I got this laser on me. Oh, shit, there's going to be a T-Rex coming at me sometime in the next minute.
Yeah.
I have to deal with it.
Yeah. That little laser pointer is like here, and it's high noon.
Get
to cover.
Could it be different?
T-Rex is coming.
Could it be like different levels of the gun? Could it like the first level it be like
the first
just,
level you just get
like
a chicken.
Herd of compies?
Yeah. No, it's, just, it's just a chicken.
Yeah, it's like the Marvel versus Capcom where your meter fills up over and over again. You get a bigger and bigger dinosaur.
Yeah. Herd of compies, and then like raptor, and then like allosaur.
Yeah,
and then T-Rex. And then the Spinosaurus, because that thing's amazing. And you also hear that jingling tone that it makes.
The highest one is a lady in high heels, because she's indestructible.
Oh, yeah, she can
or Jimmy Buffett with two margaritas.
Yes. The highest level, your opponent turns into an au pair that really did nothing wrong. What the fuck?
Why are we on RoboCop now?
Is there an au pair in RoboCop?
What's an au pair?
The British nanny thing.
She just got absolutely destroyed. Destroying that film.
The second most needlessly over-the-top death in a Jurassic Park film.
Number one?
The guy who gets torn in half by two T-Rexes trying to rescue
Eddie Carr.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's an overtly good guy who's helping people, and instead of just tragically dying, they show it.
Now that I think about it, in both the book and the movie, he is the most decent of the characters.
Yeah, and they just zoom in on him being torn in half, and you see his severed legs and arms flailing around as two T-Rex eat him. You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, that's a villain death. Like, you save that as the cathartic end to the guy I hated all movie.
You give that to
Mr.
Nedry.
Nice Person.
You give that to Nedry.
T-Rex don't care.
Oh, Jim has a good point. He did try to rescue Vince Vaughn. That is a punishment that deserves death.
No.
Vince Vaughn was great in Swingers, and then I was tired of Vince Vaughn.
He was also great in, I can't think of the film. Old School.
Dodgeball. I actually liked Vince Vaughn. He's fine.
Old School, I liked him in. I also Dodgeball was also good in, too.
If Vince Vaughn is like Vince Vaughn in real life, I hate Vince Vaughn.
So he's typecast.
But if that's really him, I hate him.
Sure, sure.
But as a fictional character, that guy's okay.
We don't have any more Zappity Grumbles at all. That was the only one.
Solid Peter Out guy.
Pull another Reddit Zappity Grumble one.
We're on Reddit?
What?
This is another great Ass Reddit question I'm going to steal.
Ass Reddit? Is Ass Reddit a thing? Probably. I will go on to Ass Reddit.
just a picture of an ass that's red.
I don't think you want to try Googling ass Reddit.
Anyways, name a movie that
Fortune
would be better.
Favors the Bold.
Completely remade with Muppets.
Wasn't that Muppets but one human?
That was a tweak that someone suggested.
Okay. Because the Muppets with one human, I went with Deep Throat.
Isn't that just Avenue Q?
Yeah, basically. Man, completely made with Muppets. Like, you have to...
I got one. I want Muppets with one person, and it would just be Tom Hanks, and it'd be Saving Private Ryan.
I was just going to do Saving Private Ryan as all Muppets, actually. Just the fluff in that opening sequence, just like piles of fluff.
Waka waka.
No, I can just see just Tom Hanks talking about it.
The guy picks up his arm and there's literally like Velcro on it and he just puts it back.
Well, I'm glad my mind went the same direction.
Yeah. That's good stuff. You could confusingly enough remake the Happy Time Murders with nothing but Muppets.
The Happy Time Murders wasn't as bad as what the trailers led it to be.
Correct. We both agreed it was better than we expected. Yeah. That does not mean it was good.
Correct.
All Muppets. Yeah, Saving Private Ryan's a real good one. Because you have to go ironic, right?
It's Saving Private Ryan or Pulp Fiction, I think, are the best two.
Pulp Fiction.
Mad Max.
Which
Fury
one?
Road.
You're going Fury Road?
Well, yeah. Sure, because then you can have the Electric Mayhem as the Doof.
Exactly.
Yes. Animal is the Doof Warrior. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Doof Warrior! It's playing the drums.
The important question is, who would Miss Piggy be?
She's Furiosa. Karate chopping Mad Max during that whole fight scene?
Oh, yep.
Yeah, it's definitely Kermit and Piggy are Max and Furiosa.
Yeah, and Gonzo would be what's his name?
Nux.
Yeah.
Gonzo can be Nux.
Yep.
So who's, like, the people eater is Sweetums. Or it's, no, Sweetums is Rictus.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Sweetums has
yes.
to be Rictus.
Most definitely Rictus. No, you could have Bunsen Honeydew be the people eater.
Sure, and then his beaker, like, just, yeah. He's just a little, the sex gimp he has. So the question is, who is?
Immortan Joe.
Immortan Joe.
Fozzie?
Like, yeah, I mean.
Sam the Eagle?
No, no, you know who have to be the people eater and the bullet farmer is Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, God, yes.
Because then they pull up and they're just like laughing at Immortan Joe.
Yeah. I think Fozzie maybe.
Like it's
Fozzie. Or you could have, I like, can't think of his name. He's the guy
demon
who throws,
guy.
He throws
know.
The boomerang fish.
Sure.
That guy who likes to blow things up.
Like,
I can't
just,
think of his
he's
name
probably
right
just like one of the buzzards or something, right? Like those guys you can definitely have. Like,
so
as
I guess
being
Immortan Joe is the one human that we leave in. Just because.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure.
The youngest of them could be what's
Pepe the Shrimp?
Yeah, Pepe the
Pepe
Shrimp.
The Prawn
yeah,
be, the
Rictus's little brother.
Yeah, whose name I can't remember.
Peter yeah. out, great Peter out.
Muppet Infinity War is one from chat. Tinker Taylor Soldier Spy.
Oh.
I mean, basically any movie's better if it's all Muppets. Like, I can't think of a movie that isn't better if it's all Muppets.
Yeah, I honestly would pay to go see in the theater a Muppet Fury Road.
Oh, yeah. I would pay to see a Muppet.
Oh, it would be Furry Road.
Careful.
I know.
That is a different movie.
That is a very different movie. You do not want to know what the Doof Wagon's
Google that
doing.
Right now.
It's on Ask Reddit.
Yes. Yeah. The rat is Immortan Joe.
Rizzo.
No, he would. Rizzo would probably be at the very beginning when Immortan Joe is pouring out the water for
well,
all.
No,
the crowd.
If Gonzo is Nux, then Rizzo is Slit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, because Gonzo and Rizzo are always a team, yeah. Right? And so you got that going for you.
Could have Guy Smiley for some
well,
odd reason.
Like, there's that dragon.
Well, I guess
there's that dragon demon that's like their token evil guy.
Also, are we allowed to bring Sesame Street in?
If we bring Sesame Street in, we should have the two-headed monster.
I was thinking of Oscar.
Oh, or just Immortan Swedish Chef.
Yeah, so I mean, how many
That's Muppets. He's got the head of his hurry, hurry, and just pulls the lever and the water comes out. Addicted to water. Well, now we have to cast all the wives.
No, those all be normal. Those all people. Be human. No.
Everyone's Muppets, but all everyone's the wives count as the humans.
Or they're the fruit.
Yeah, they're what?
If the Swedish chef is the,
yeah, sure.
Or no, they're all chickens.
Oh yeah.
at least capable has to be Camilla the chicken, right? Because that's the one that yes,
yes, yes. So capable, they're all chickens. Yeah. Oh my god. Then he would definitely want to get his chickens back.
Well, yeah.
Jim was saying you can bring Kermit to 70th Street, but not the other way. No, this is the entire Muppet verse, because he just said Muppets. That and includes the Fraggle.
Canonically, they do exist in the same universe, because if you recall, Muppet Family Christmas, where Sesame Street and the Muppet Show meet up for Christmas, has the great things where Bert and Ernie are just discussing letters or words that start with the letter G, and then they explain that where they come from, that's small talk. But it has the great sequence where
it has the Fraggles in there too.
The Swedish chef flips his shit because he sees Big Bird and he decides that's what he's cooking for Christmas dinner. like a halo of light behind Big Bird.
I don't think chat mentioned Dark Circle and
Dark Crystal.
Those and Muppets too.
They're not canonically
part of that.
Say, if we're going with that as Muppet, then Yoda shows up too.
Yeah,
Yoda is not part of it either.
Why? Yeah. Why did they give Agra pokey nipples? In Dark Crystal,
I don't. I guess I don't remember Agra. She's like the old hag.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has real pokey nipples.
Yeah.
On her real bouncy boobers.
So you've seen it recently then?
I watch Dark Crystal all the time. I love Dark Crystal.
Okay. I haven't seen it in a very, very long time.
It is unironically a very good film.
The 80s?
The only drawback to Dark Crystal is that the Gelflings are very Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
I wish that they had not tried to make them look as human, but then make them look not human. So the Gelflings are the worst part of it, but... Also, as an adult, you can totally see the legs of the people playing the Garthams. Because it has all their crab legs, but those are just, hanging off their knees. They're just, flapping around, and you just see them walking around.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, and I should really watch it again.
You'll need to watch it for the series that's coming out this year on Netflix, which I'm totally excited about. I wonder when exactly it takes place, because I am a big fan of Skeksil. My favorite Skeksis. Skekung can fuck himself.
You should play WoW, because if you play in Burning Crusade, there was a lot of them running around. The Arakoa in WoW was one of the villains in the game, which are bird people, and they all look like Skeksis.
But is Skeksil specifically in there?
No. Probably something very similar name.
Do I get to hear the whimper?
No. Yes, you do. Yeah. Yes, you do. Because
well, Skeksil's in it.
No, he is legally distinct from Skeksil.
Oh, okay.
All right. Some recommendations?
Yeah.
All right. So we talked earlier about the second current top-selling game on Steam, which was Resident Evil 2. I will look at that in a minute once I finish recommending.
Oh, I want you to vomit while talking.
Should just Hungerford his phone. It would have been great.
No. I can't do anything that's worse than what he already did. Anyways, but the top-selling game on Steam right now is Subnautica, Below Zero. It is a new standalone expansion for Subnautica, which is, before you had the fear of running out of air underwater. Now you get to run out of air under ice.
Dude.
Go find that hole. Also, there's penguins. QED. Andy.
Why are you throwing it to me?
Because Nathan is being a dick.
So I have avoided this YouTube channel for a while. I've always heard that the channel is always really good.
Maybe.
So the channel I decided to start watching, and man, I wish I watched more of it, is a little channel called First We Feast.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Hot Ones.
In which they have a little series on there called Hot Ones, which, like I said, is I've just avoided it. I've seen everyone talk about it.
That was an amazing way to drive to Milwaukee.
But yeah, so I watched the finally watched the Gordon Ramsay's episode of Hot Ones, and which is a glorious episode.
The great two-parter, which is what we did driving to Milwaukee, was watch Gordon Ramsay swearing and weeping and drinking Pepto-Bismol, and then watch
Alton Brown
straight face chugging the hot sauce to figure out more of the ginger spice that's on the back burner.
Did you also watch the Guy Fieri?
Yeah, I've seen every
The Guy Fieri one is, because I bookended with that. The Guy Fieri one is actually pretty good, too.
One last trip to Flavortown.
I really like.
I still want to know what happened to Coolio.
Coolio's fine. It was DJ Khaled that only got two wings in, and two wings is like Frank's Red Hot sauce. Like it's not even like hot shit.
I think I'm probably gonna order some of their middle sauce,
the fiery chipotle.
Yeah, the stuff that's in the middle. That everyone seems to basically they take a shot of it and they're like, this is really tasty.
Yeah. Alton Brown kept the jar.
He's did?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Last dab is one of
those. So what you're saying is we need to make a batch of wings and then eat it on air.
Yeah.
We could do that.
We could do that.
That
There's nothing people like more than listening to you eat on podcast. It's worldly known to be the most entertaining thing to do.
Since when have we ever been kind to our audience?
Fair.
I mean, it also depends. It also depends on how spicy the wings are, because I mean, I'm sure a significant proportion of our audience would enjoy seeing us suffer.
Yeah, but that one's like, see, the great thing about the fiery chipotle hot one is it's still in the it is spicy, but the flavor is their level of spicy, which I love. I love spicy food, absolutely love it. But people have ruined spicy food because they turn it into an endurance challenge instead of a flavor choice.
Girl, my spices, agreed. Bro.
Yeah. Look at me eat this tough shit. It tastes terrible and I hate it.
Yeah. Why it's like I'd rather take this knife and just stab it into my mouth a bunch of times. Yeah.
It's like I tried Blazin' at the BW3s once and why? I was like, why?
Yeah. Because it's not
like this tastes like a chemical
good.
Bird.
Yeah. Correct. I love tasty. Tasty spicy is really good.
Good the correct spice level for me. I know I'm at it because it gives me the hiccups. For some reason, spicy food gives me the hiccups like immediately if it's just barely right at the level that should be too spicy. Because above that, it's terrible and I stop eating. But right at that level, it's still flavorful, so I keep eating it and I get the hiccups.
Oh, the burn that, like, I can only solve this by eating more.
Yeah.
Then I restart the burn cycle.
Yeah. And then as the burn fades, you can taste the flavor and you enjoy that. Mm. Yeah. The endurance challenges are so fucking dumb.
Yeah, I remember one time where I was dared by somebody to eat a, you know, like a ghost pepper or something like that.
And you bite into it and you're like, I just felt taste buds die.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just like being challenged to like set your hand in a flame. Like there's no pleasure there. There's no joy.
Put your hand in the box, Atreides.
Yeah. They tried and failed.
I'm going to be a naysayer in there. I think they're going to try it. They're going to try too hard and it's going
to
be.
I have faith.
I want it to be good, but
you know, good spicy food is like the food version of BDSM, where there's pain there, but the pain is the right level to offset the pleasure to being at a good place. And
see, we are a sex podcast.
I think that's a good analogy.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
And there's a level. Some of us maybe just a little spanking. Some of us want something really rough, right? And same with the spice.
When someone's just
beating the shit out of you with a hammer and breaking your kneecaps, it's no longer a fun experience.
Yeah, but some people might like that, though.
Mostly the people holding the hammer.
Yeah, that's...
Which is fine. You can enjoy being the server serving somebody the atomic wings. You're not enjoying the atomic wing. You can show how tough you are. Oh, this guy hit me with a hammer 10 times and I can still walk. Okay, eat your atomic wings.
So are we going to do this?
Hit each other with hammers?
Yes. There's one right there. Dave's closest, though.
I'm out.
I don't... What? No. I don't like hit with a hammer. Don't hit me with a hammer, bro.
Apparently, we're not doing this.
No.
No, we're not.
Okay.
I know. I'm not going to eat atomic wings either. I am...
Do you want to?
Are we going to do like a hot pepper gaming thing where I have to do like a convergence cast eating hot peppers?
Speaking of which, who's doing the Impossible Burger Challenge with me?
Did you double check with Monks? Was I right?
They do have it.
Because it was 94.1 I was listening to, and Biatch mentioned she had one there.
What is the Impossible Burger Challenge?
He wants to have an Impossible Burger.
It's supposed to be a vegan burger that's supposed to be very meat-like.
It's a vegan burger that isn't god-awful.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so it's interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say a challenge?
More of just who wants to come and split one four ways with me, because I don't necessarily know if I want to eat a whole one.
Okay.
I would
say, like, the, after the podcast?
I am likely tonight, to be willing to split one two yeah. ways with you. If you can get a third or a fourth, we'll see.
I'd
need half an Impossible Burger.
Mm-hmm. And now that I know it's at Monk's, that way I don't have to go to Point Burger Bar and spend $20 to do it.
Correct.
It's just down the street from here.
Yeah. It's actually, like, right. Oh, yeah, I guess there is a second Monk's down here, isn't there?
There's the gas station that's on M. There's a Monk's right there now.
Okay.
I wonder if that one has it.
I know the one in Middleton does. That's the one I checked.
Ah, okay.
Good story.
Yep.
Yeah.
Podcast listeners are enthralled about where the Impossible Burger is.
Yep.
In Verona, Wisconsin.
Or Middleton. Yeah. Yep. All right. Dave, recommendation.
I'm going to recommend something for the third time and say Dead Cells because I've been playing the hell out of it.
You sure have.
Yeah. If you... The 1.1 patch has not hit on consoles yet, so I started over on PC.
Well, it's because the PC 1.11 patch is going to be the console 1.1 patch because it costs money to release games on consoles as opposed to Steam, where it's like the shove shit into us.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they're like, let's do it right.
But I've been playing the hell out of 1.1 because 1.1 is great. It's like the basic game is easier in 1.1, and then 1 and 2 boss cells get like slightly more difficult, and then boss cells 4 is insanely difficult.
When does the teleporting start?
4.
Okay.
What do you mean teleporting? So
there's some enemies that can teleport sooner than that. Like, but it's yeah, a like
runners.
Ability.
Yeah, like runners yeah. and runners and
yeah.
Hunters.
I mean, they do that
and
at elites. Zero. Yeah,
yeah. Wait, elites also yeah. come after you too.
Yeah, in boss cells after 4, every melee enemy teleports to you.
It's just a thing.
It's just I'm gonna have to have traps everywhere now.
Yeah, and because that's one of the awesome things you can do in 1.1 that makes a lot of the difficulties easier is you know the homunculus room. If you've beaten the Hand of the King on 0 and you have one boss cell on the if you push down the right right analog stick you push your head out of your body and can move the head around.
Mm-hmm.
In 1.1, one of the things you can do with the head is pick up and move your traps. And this is abusable as hell because you can take your trap down and shoot stuff that can't see you.
Unless they can teleport to you.
And then in Boss Hells 4, they have had enough of your bullshit and will teleport right to you and will happily murder you off screen.
Your head's carrying around a gun, and they're like, okay, but well, that body.
but the problem, though, with moving is the traps powered by your body, or is it powered by your head?
It's powered by your head.
Okay, so the traps will be activating. Okay, so your body.
And more importantly, the second trap back by your body won't.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to properly abuse it, you need to set one by your body to so you don't die. But it's like in four boss cells, it's hilarious. It's like, oh, I'm going to do the way I abused boss cells 3. It's like, nope, they're going to kill me because they are aware of this and they're tired of me.
Yeah, that's why I go with Barnacle almost all the time because it shoots all directions except for up.
Yeah. 1.1 also, because I mean, one of my primary critiques with the game is that an important thing for playing in the higher level difficulties is curating your unlocks. That it's like if you only unlock like the 4 best things, then all of your loot is going to be the base stuff and then those 4 best things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, technically, that is the best way to play the game is to unlock only like
3 things.
The stuff that you want.
Yeah. And the 1.1 gives you a custom mode where you can disable a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
So it's like that's for going through 4.
Never have to see the sandals again.
Never have to see the sandals again. So I mean, that's like I have my preferred combo. So all of my weapons are either ice shards or alchemic carbine.
If I was going to be playing the game on Steam, and I'll probably end up picking it up on Steam.
They're working on the final console build right now.
I finally have a computer I can stream on.
Mm-hmm.
So I tested, I think, like 2 weeks ago. I was just messing around with some Overwatch on it. So
I remember seeing that, actually.
So I can actually stream now, and so I might be thinking about running a Dead Cells run-through on Major Tusk streaming. And then
that would be cool.
That way you have people can tell me what weapons I need to keep as well.
Can we hang out and yell at you while you're doing it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and having a PC that can actually stream now is pretty awesome. I just now I need a PC that I can record on so I can actually upload proper looking videos up to YouTube's.
But Yeah, but 1.1 also fixes a number of things, and you get bonus loot for killing 60 monsters without taking a hit in every stage. Yeah. So it does a lot of it's a much better balanced game and a much more fun game.
Well, because the killing monsters allows an alternate gameplay, right? Because you can race and kill zero monsters to get to the locked doors, or you can go slowly and kill 60 monsters to get bonus loot that way.
Yeah.
And so you have alternate decision.
Yeah,
which is always nice.
Yep.
And also one of the big changes.
Also, scrolls don't fuck you over.
Yes, yeah. One of the big changes is monsters have a static difficulty level that they do not scale with the scrolls you picked up. So you are now it is aggressively better to pick up every single scroll you see.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb gamesmanship.
Yep.
Where picking up a scroll improved you less than it improved all the monsters.
God. Yeah, I always ran into the stupid the big fat guys with the giant swords who would throw them across or giant axes that would throw them across the field. I would when I was trying to farm,
Death Orb.
They dropped Death Orb. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was trying to farm them, and then most of the time when I would try to
damage cap hit on them, Death Orb.
When I would hit them with the stupid orb to try to get them to spit out that, and they would almost always kill me with those stupid axes.
Yeah. In 1.1, they nerfed the damage on Death Orb. In 1.1.1, they bumped the cap back up because Death Orb in 1.1 is like
useless.
Bad.
Yeah.
Did they bump it all the way back or kind of to the middle? Are they Goldilocksing it? Yeah.
I think so. Because I haven't played 1.1. I haven't played 1.1.1 yet. But
even if you're right, that's 1.1.1.1, not 1.1. Never mind.
Yeah, sure.
I was immediately going to Clueless too.
Yeah,
1.1.2.1.
No.
What?
1.2.1.1. Okay. Not 1.1.2.1.
Okay.
But yeah, I have found my favorite favorite combination in the game, and that is taking ice shards and rolling them until they get bonus damage on poison, and then alchemic carbine and rolling it until it gets spreads oil. And so you fire the two at the same. You fire the two at the same time, and you get crits. You get double damage crits on everything. Also, I figured out a trick from the Reddit forum that is actually pretty good. Is
close it?
What?
Close it?
Well, that too.
That Reddit is particularly toxic. For a video game, one is pretty bad.
I was going to say for
all video game ones are pretty bad on Reddit.
I was going
to
say
for me to show you the Gwent sub forum. Yeah.
For a video game subreddit, the Dead Cells one is pristine in comparison to the typical.
This is one of the cleanest sewers I've ever been in.
That's true. They just hate every balance change.
Yeah.
I mean, you should see the Darkest Dungeon subreddit during the early access. When they would change things, they shit their pants when they introduced corpses, the objectively best introduction to any game, like, ever. Corpses fixed Darkest Dungeon, and the subreddit shit themselves over it.
Yeah.
Anyway, your trick.
The trick is you can go into the settings and put both of your weapons to the same button. And this significantly increases your rate of fire because while you can't fire both of your weapons simultaneously, the weapons have separate cooldowns.
Sure, sure.
And so you can map that to one button. So if you have one, weapon that causes a status effect that the other one keys off of, it works really well.
Because it'll alternate between them, you know, depending on the cooldown. Yep. You might hit one three times to the other one's gone, but yeah. Neat story, Dead Cells. If you like horror movies, there's one on Netflix called Bird Box that sucks. There's one on Netflix that's good called The Ritual, and I recommend you watch The Ritual. And I'd hate to give spoilers for The Ritual, so I will say that there is a horror movie on Netflix whose title I won't mention that also has the coolest creature design for a monster that I've seen in a long, long time. And I don't want to give spoilers for The Ritual, so I won't tell you what movie has the really cool monster design at the end of it.
Okay.
Is it called The Relic?
No. The Relic's got really cool. That was one of the good things. Yeah, this is up there with The Relic, dude.
Okay.
If you Google Ritual Monster GIF, you will see the coolest fucking thing you have ever seen in your life. It's like if there was a giant elk made out of people.
Hmm.
It is awesome.
Probably one of my favorite monsters, though, that you didn't expect was in Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Ritual. The Ritual. Even if you just do Ritual Monster GIF, you'll find it, and the thing's fucking awesome.
Yeah, the Relic Monster is pretty cool.
The Relic Monster is really cool. It's the best thing about the Relic. Also, I've mentioned them before, but I'm playing the living fuck out of one of them right now, so play the Persona games. They're really good.
The fuck am I looking at?
Is it not an elk made out of people? See the, like, arms and shit there under the face? There's a great shot of it trying to come into a cabin, and you can see, like, the hands and everything. It's creepy.
It's almost like the Nightmare Fuel. It's almost like the creature that was in, what's her name's, Natalie Portman's.
It has a very Annihilation vibe to it. Yes, okay. Like the bear that you could see the human skull still in its face.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't see.
I'm out. Did you see the one coming through the door?
I'm out.
Yeah. I said it was a horror movie.
Yeah.
I'm out. Just reach.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Thanks all for watching. We'll all right. See you guys next week.
Yep.
Or will we? Oh, wait. Yeah, we will.
No.
Yeah, we'll be here, unfortunately.
You mean we're not going to watch the Pro Bowl?
Puppy Bowl is on right now. We can go watch the Puppy Bowl.
I think WWE got hit with something. So WWE...
okay.
No. So WWE was promoting their NXT halftime wrestling match. And they were basically saying, instead of seeing these guys, and they showed like a big promo picture of Maroon, is it Maroon 5?
I think so, yeah.
That's, yeah.
He's your friend.
So, Nathan.
Yeah,
so they're Maroon 5. So, a giant picture of Maroon 5, and then they showed like, hey, come to WWE.com and watch, you know, this NXT six-man tag match. And all subsequent previews from the first day all had just a... They had like the music of Maroon 5 playing in the background, but no naming of them.
Okay.
So I think either NFL or somebody that kept on. All right. Thanks for watching, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. So what's this?
Ass Reddit.